Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in your Scofield Bible, page 1222. Beginning with the 6th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 11, and then skipping to verse 28, we'll read responsively likewise through verse 31. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Once again, 1 Corinthians 12, 6 through 11 to start with. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now verses 28 through 31. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all the workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And now reading for you, without you turning to it, from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Weather-wise, we couldn't have asked for better. But thank you for a day of just getting together as the church family, as is our habit to do. We thank you for this great place of gathering. We thank you for this great crowd. We pray for your blessing upon this service. Of course, we pray earnestly for the service for the Spanish-speaking folks. And we pray, too, that Yahweh would bless all that's going on this corner throughout the day. May you be pleased with us and help us to conduct ourselves in this service as would be befitting the preaching of your word by the man of God. Help us to treasure every moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me read for you one verse that you need not turn to. It's a verse that I've used many times in my own life. I read from Jeremiah 45 and verse 5, "And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seekest them not." Our Heavenly Father, I come now to presenting another truth from the Book of Truth. Another nugget from the mines of gold in this book. I pray you help me as I speak and help the people as they hear. Give them an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. May I borrow your mind for the next few minutes? I have 28 minutes until 12 o'clock. I have an hour and a half sermon. I will not preach that hour and a half sermon, for which you're very grateful. But I may go a little bit over 12. If I do go beyond 12, you don't have to worry. I will never here preach after 12:10, and we will always be out by 12:30. I don't think I'll go to 12:10, but I do have a lot to say this morning. And if you'll give me your mind, you'll walk out of this place with a changed attitude. There are two types of Christianities flourishing in America today. These two types of Christianities you will see so clearly. One is the charismatic movement, and though I think there are many wonderful Christian people in charismatic churches, I do not believe for a second in the charismatic philosophy of Christianity. The other two for churches flourishing are independent Baptist churches like this that are reaching people. And I'm going to give you this morning, and I'm not lambasting anybody. I want to help you personally this morning. And in so doing, I will show you the two different types of Christianity that is flourishing in America. Follow me carefully. I read for you without your turning to it again, a verse read a while ago. It says, covet earnestly the best gifts. I marvel. Are you listening? I marvel. God commands me to covet. I thought coveting was wrong. Are you listening to me? I thought coveting was wrong. And here we have a command from God to covet. That isn't all. He says, covet earnestly. That word earnestly means hasten to covet. Hurry up and covet. Covet vigorously. And this, the same God placed in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 17, these words, thou shalt not covet. Now, wait a minute. God seems to be having a problem here. He says, thou shalt not covet in Exodus 20, 17. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, 23, he says, covet earnestly. What is the situation? Not only is covetousness a sin, don't miss it now, not only is covetousness a sin in the Bible, but it is the root of many other sins. Covetousness is the sin that causes us to break whatever commandment we break. It is covetousness that causes stealing. It is covetousness. Wake up now. Quit your yawning and listen to me. I got something to tell you. And by the way, what I'm going to tell you is a truth that is revolutionary. Listen carefully. I said it is covetousness that causes stealing. It is covetousness that causes lying. It is covetousness that causes adultery. It is covetousness that causes cursing. It is covetousness that causes swearing. All of these are mentioned in the Ten Commandments. The covetousness, I used to have a sermon called covetousness, the root of all of the commandments. Now, not only that, hear God say in Habakkuk 2:9, woe to him that coveteth. And hear him say in Colossians 3:5, mortify or murder covetousness. And hear him saying in Hebrews 13:5, be without covetousness. Don't leave me now. And hear him say in Psalm 119:36, incline not my heart to covetousness. And hear him say in Luke 12:15, beware of covetousness. And hear him say in Isaiah 57:17, the iniquity of covetousness. Boy, it sounds like coveting is a wicked, vile, corrupt sin. And it is in the Bible. Now then comes this contradictory command in 1 Corinthians 12:23. Covet earnestly. Not only that, but it says covet the best gifts. The best gifts. Covet what's best, he says. Now, let's see if we can reconcile the two commands. The same God that said, thou shalt not covet, said covet. The same God that gives us a commandment not to covet, gives us a contradictory commandment, seemingly, to covet. Now sit up straight and listen to the next 5 minutes, and your life will be totally transformed. Follow me carefully. These things we read about this morning are called spiritual gifts. It is these things that we are to covet. The Bible says God commands us to covet these spiritual gifts. Now follow me. These gifts are not to be used on ourselves, but they're to be used on others. These are not gifts. Oh, listen to this. The gifts of the Spirit are not gifts given to me, but gifts given to others through me. So when I'm coveting the best gifts, I'm not coveting gifts for myself. I'm coveting gifts for somebody else. So God says, don't covet anything for yourself, but covet everything that's good for those whom you love. So they're not gifts that God gives to me. These are gifts that God gives through me. I am to deliver them for God, not for me. I am to deliver them for God. So God said, don't come to me and covet anything for yourself. But if Brother Colston has a need, listen to me now, I am to covet that which Brother Colston needs. So the gifts of the Spirit are not given to me. They're given to you through me. And by the way, that's the whole difference in the charismatic movement and the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Boy, they want to come and get the gifts of the Spirit so they can have a hoopy time. I want the gifts of the Spirit so I can provide for you a good hoopy time. They want the gifts of the Spirit so they can talk in tongues and feel good. I want somebody to talk in tongues so folks that can't understand the language being spoken can understand the gospel and be saved. Consequently, hear me carefully now, the gifts of the Spirit are not given to believers. They're given to other believers or other people through believers. And when I covet the best gifts, I'm not coveting them for myself. I'm coveting them for other people who have need. So I'm not coveting them for myself. I'm coveting them for others. And I'm coveting them for the opportunity to help others. Illustration. Here's Cindy, our youngest daughter. Cindy was a little girl. It's coming to Christmas time. Daddy, can I have some money to buy a Christmas gift for mother? All right. Now follow me carefully. I give Cindy some money. Is Cindy the recipient of that gift? No. Her mother is the recipient of that gift. Cindy is asking me, she's coveting some money from me. Listen to me now. She's coveting some money from me so she can deliver on Christmas morning a gift to her mother. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole Christian world is wacky. You do this, and boy, you'll get this, and you'll get this, and you'll get money, and you'll get a raise, and God will fill your coffers, and you give me some seed money, and God will go. That's all as unscriptural as drinking liquor is. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is not based on me coveting for myself, but coveting for other people so God can give gifts to them through me. So I pray this prayer, dear God, someone has a need. Give me what they need so I can get it to them. And thus the gifts of the Spirit. Dear God, I want that for him. By the way, the test of true love is what you covet. The test of true love is what you covet. The test of true love is if you covet something from God so you can get it to the object of your love. And by the way, that's the test of friendship also. The test of friendship is if you want others to have what they need and you covet earnestly that God will give you these gifts so you can impart these gifts to other people. Now I'm gonna pivot for a minute and don't leave me. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside me to live. Hey, wake up, I'm in church here. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside me to live. And he also came inside you to live. Now when he came, he brought two things. Primarily, he brought his fruit. I talked about that 2 minutes ago. He brought his fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and so forth. Now then, he also brought his gifts. The gifts of tongues, the gifts of healing, the gifts of faith, the gifts of helps, the gifts of government, and other gifts. Now hear me carefully. When the Holy Spirit came inside me to live, he brought two things, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Now hear me. The fruit of the Spirit came in me to help me properly treat others. The fruit of the Spirit wasn't given to me. It was given to you through me. So the fruit of the Spirit, oh, I wish you could get this. The fruit of the Spirit was given to me so for the proper treatment of others, and the gifts of the Spirit were given to me for the proper service of others. So God didn't have me in mind when he gave me his fruit. He had you in mind. He didn't have me in mind when he gave me his gifts. He had you in mind. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole Christian life is not can I feel good, but can I help others feel good. Not can I have joy, but can I have others, lead others to have joy. Not can I have peace, but lead others to have peace. And that is the difference in the old First Baptist.
Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and the charismatic movement, give me your gifts, give me your gifts, give me your gifts. No, ours is give them your gifts and let me be the delivery boy. For example, don't leave me. We sing, the Comforter has come. And John tells us about the coming of the Comforter. Now, hear me carefully. The Comforter, when he says he's come, he did not come to you to comfort you. He came to you that you might use him to comfort others. God does his work through people. The Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand the Bible except some man should guide me? And how can the Holy Spirit comfort you except he enter in me so I can comfort you as he gives me that comfort? Now listen carefully. You say, how about me? That's your problem. Sure. Well, what's in it for me? That's your whole problem. The Comforter did not come in you, hear me now, to comfort you primarily. He came in you so you could comfort others by him. He sends his comfort to others. That's what happens here on Sunday morning when I preach. The Comforter's come. He gave me comfort. What do? I give it to you. The same is true concerning joy. God didn't come into me to give me joy to keep. God came in to give me joy to give to you. As I said often, I'm a conduit of that joy. The same is true in love. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are not given so I can get something, but you can get something through me. Now, let's go. Same is true of tongues. I think I'll get your attention here and talk about the unknown tongue. There's nothing as unscriptural in this world as the modern unknown tongue. Nothing. I must give you an illustration that I've used here many times because I have to do it to get the point over. I won't tell the whole story except the lady sat right back there. She couldn't speak anything but Chinese. One of our men all of a sudden was given the ability he didn't speak in Chinese, but he talked in English, and all of a sudden she began to hear and understand what he said. And she got saved because God gave her the ability to understand what he was talking about. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2, every man heard them speak in his own native language. Now, ask the question. God gave that man back there the gift of tongues. That lady understood him when he spoke English. She understood it, and God gave him the gift of tongues. Ask the question. Was that gift given to him or given to her? Talk to me. To him or to her? To her. She's the one that got saved. God said, I'm giving you the gift of tongues so you can give it to her so she can go to heaven when she dies. Same is true concerning healing. I won't go into this story at length, but you were to be telling a story often about a lady up in one of the hospitals in Chicago was having brain tumor. They're going to take the tumor out of her brain surgery, 8-hour surgery, the doctor said. I prayed for her. Doctor rolled her back to the room in less than an hour and said the tumor's gone. Now, did God give me the gift of healing? Yes, he did. Was it for me? No, it was not. It was for her. I am to covet earnestly the gift of healing so I can help you. But not one of the gifts, hear me now, hear me, you charismatics, not one of the gifts was given for the recipient, but was given for others. The recipient might receive it and give it to somebody else. Boy, that's great doctrine. Take the matter of wisdom. Again, I abbreviate a lengthy story that you've heard before in order to illustrate this truth. About the little boy in Texas, that they had a little fender bender, car fender bender. Nothing bad at all. But the lady took her little son, he was in the car, by the clinic and doctor, and had him checked. The doctor said everything is okay. The car was barely dented. I went by the house, heard she had an accident. And I said, a four-year-old boy was there. And I said, I understand you had an accident. She said, yes, but nothing serious at all. I said, were anybody injured? No. She said, I took my son to the doctor. The doctor said, not one single thing is wrong with him. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, God gave me the gift of wisdom and discernment. And I said, take the boy to the hospital quickly, please. She said, Pastor, I just got him back. And the doctor says, so I said, please take the boy to the hospital. Take him to the hospital. She said, but I said, trust me. It was Christmas Eve. Presents under the tree. She said, we're having Christmas tonight. I said, I beg you, take your boy to the hospital. Please. Angrily, she took her boy to the hospital, only to find that if he hadn't gotten there when he did, in 30 minutes, he'd have been dead. Ask a question. Did God give me the gift of discernment and wisdom? Yes, he did. Was it for me? No, it wasn't. It was for the boy. Now, you listen to me carefully. Don't you get caught up in these TV evangelists. Boy, you can get rich. It doesn't matter whether you get rich or not. God does not give you the gifts of the Spirit. He gives them to somebody else, and you're simply the boy that carries them to them. Same is true with helps. A little lady that came years ago wanted me to find a place for her unborn child. She was not married. She had two children. She could not pay for them, support them. She said, I'm carrying a child, be born in a few weeks. Can you find him a home? And I checked with a couple in Texas, and I knew because I had just gotten here then, who wanted to have a child, and they came up here, and this little lady gave her this child. I helped her. I found a home for that little child. Now, wait a minute. Did God give me the gift of helps? Yes, he did. Did God give me the gift of helps for me? No, he gave me the gift of helps for them. So I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, the fruit of the Spirit is not something God, Holy Spirit brings to me. It's something God's Holy Spirit brings in me to give to others so I may give joy to others and peace to others. But, if you come to Jesus, you'll get joy. That's right, but you're to distribute that joy. Oh, you come to Jesus, you'll get peace. Now, you listen carefully to me. God does not give the Christian joy so he can have joy. He gives the Christian joy so he can spread joy. He gives the Christian peace so he can spread peace. He gives the Christian love so he can spread love. That's what it's all about, the whole Christian life. Now, follow me carefully. When you say, hold it, preacher, what's in it for me? I mean, if God gives me his fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and temperance and meekness, if God gives me that, it's not for me. No, he doesn't give it to you for you. And you mean, preacher, that these gifts of the Spirit that God gives, they're not for me? No, they are not given to you for you. They're given to you for somebody else. So straight. Well, then, how about me? Don't I get peace? Don't I get joy? Oh, yes. My gift is the joy of giving. Are you listening? My gift is the joy of giving. And I promise you, if you get this type of a life, you'll get more joy than a person that gets what you give. Illustration again, that's old, but illustrate. We had a school teacher here, a lovely lady, 30 years ago when we started our schools. She taught here in our Hammond Baptist High School. She was a beautiful lady, but she had one problem. She had teeth that protruded. If you kissed her, you would have had to go to the doctor. Well, I never tried, but I mean, but she was a beautiful lady. She had taken care of her weight, and she was a lovely lady, but she had teeth that protruded. One day, God gave me a little extra money so I could give it. I called her in, and I told her I wanted to pay for her to have her teeth fixed. And I did. By the way, I don't think she did. Well, I know she wouldn't. She'd never have gotten married. But I knew she was a beautiful lady if she just had her teeth fixed. And so, I paid and had her teeth fixed. Well, you say, what's in it for you? She's married to an evangelist today who stood behind this pulpit and preached just a few years ago. And I sat out in the audience and cried like a baby. That's what you call fun. You see, that's what's in it for me. But you say, oh, I want this, I want that, I want this. God said, thou shalt not covet. But then he said, covet. Thou shalt not covet anything for thyself, but thou shalt covet the best gifts for others. For the gifts of the Spirit are not given to you, they're given to others through you. By the way, I was preaching it in Garland, Texas, where Dr. Gary Coleman several years ago. I was sitting on the platform up here. Time came for the offering. Hey, take those kids out back there. Hey, take them out right now. Ushers, go get those kids. Take them out. We don't want them just walking around. So, usher, get out. That's what you're there for. Listen to me carefully now. Look at me. Right here in the most important part of the sermon, and ushers are asleep. Listen to me carefully. I was sitting on the platform. Time came for the offering. Down this aisle over here came a good-looking, tall, blonde-haired fella. Don't miss it now. Dr. Gary Coleman said, you know who that is? I said, no. That's the Harn boy. H-A-R-N. That's the Harn boy. That's the little boy that 30 years ago or more at that time. It's longer than that now. It's 43 or 44 years ago. I told his mother, take him to the doctor or the hospital. But the doctor said he's all right. Take him to the hospital. Angrily, she took him to the hospital, found he would have died if he hadn't gotten there. He died within 30 minutes if he hadn't gotten there. And there I stood up there on the platform, and Dr. Coleman said, that's the Harn boy. That's the boy I prayed for years ago. And the boy, but God gave me a gift of wisdom and a gift of discernment. And there he is, an usher. At that time, I think he said he was a deacon in that church. That's all the joy I need. That's what's in it for me. I'm the delivery boy. And once I deliver, back to that little boy a while ago I mentioned, that little boy that was adopted with a family in Texas. I saw that mother give that boy away over here at the hospital in East Chicago, St. Catherine's. I saw that mother get in the car and go away. Wait a minute. I'll never forget the day that that boy enrolled, in, or the little boy, adopted boy, enrolled in Howes Anderson College. Hey, that's my gift. That's a better gift than they got. I'll not forget the day when I stood right here and called, his name was called by Dr. Evans, and I gave him his degree from Howes Anderson College. And today, that boy is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you call real joy. So, I'm saying that God comes along to give gifts. He says, I shall not covet. Over here a while later, the same God says, covet. But thou shalt not covet. Mortify covetousness. The evil iniquity of covetousness. Covet earnestly. But thou shalt not covet. Covet. Same God. Same God. He says, it's wrong to covet anything for yourself. But he says, I command you to covet the gifts of the Spirit. For these gifts of the Spirit are given to you to serve others. And he said, covet the best gifts. The best gifts. Not for yourself, but for others. Seek not great things for thyself. Or, seekest thou great things for thyself, Jeremiah 45:5, seekest them not. That's what it is. Thou shalt not covet. Don't seek things for yourself. For 41 years I've pastored this church. I've tried. And by the way, it's not unselfishness. It's obeying God and the doctrine. It's pretty selfish because I feel better with this other guy having this tithe than I do me having the tithe. Now, you say, Brother Hiles, what is in it for you? I could point to any section I want to this morning and tell you, and show you a family that was in the divorce courts with whom I counseled, their marriage was salvaged. That's what's in it for me. I can point all over this building today to young people with whom I counsel and whom I married on this platform. That's what's an attorney. I can sit at my desk and look at 700 names of pastors who are trained here and the names of 300 missionaries who were trained here. That's what's in it for me. And that's why God wanted you to be the delivery boy, because God knew the delivery boy would get more fun out of it than the person that received the gift. Thou shalt not covet. Covet! Thou shalt not covet. Covet! Thou shalt not covet. Covet! Covet the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Same God. What's he saying? Don't covet a thing for yourself. But covet the best gifts, because these gifts of the Spirit are not to you, they're to others through you. And the fruit of the Spirit is not to you, but to others through you. And then God knows that once you've lived that kind of life, you show me an old man has more fun than I do. Do you ever notice how crabby old people look? Did you just go somewhere to an old folks convention, look at the 73-year-old man? I say that as quick as I can't say that very long. I'm going to say it a lot in the next few days. Look at them. And look at me. Yeah. What's the difference? Because I, for over a half a century, have been delivering the gifts of the Spirit for him to you. And that's why I'm happy. And that's what's in it for me. And so God says, thou shalt not covet. Then he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Because that's the way God wants us to live. And so, my dear charismatic friends, if I could talk to all of you at one time and you'd listen to me, I could change your whole life. God does not give you the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, for example, so you can jabber and feel real good. Oh, I felt a heavenly feeling. No, he gave you the gift so others can have a heavenly feeling. And when you let the gifts of the Spirit go to whom they were given, not you, but to others, then you will know the true joy of the Christian life. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way. Even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Lord, let me live for others, that I may live like Thee, and that I may know the greatest gift of all, the gift of giving, the gift that God has given to others through me. If you get what I've said this morning, and I wouldn't be surprised if you shouldn't buy the tape and listen to this sermon a dozen times and get it over and over and over and over again. The difference in New Testament Christianity and this modern television evangelist Christianity is this. For whom are the gifts? For whom are the gifts of the Spirit? Me? For you? They're given to you for me. They're given to me for you. So it's about time you start giving me a bunch of stuff. But that's what they're for. And in so doing, there's nothing like being a delivery boy. How would you like to be the nurse that walked in and told that little lady in the hospital in Chicago, your tumor's gone? I bet you she couldn't wait. I bet you she's standing there over that gal while she's still asleep. Said, wake up, I got some good news for you. And once you have delivered gifts to others as God intended, in turn, you receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of being used by the Creator of the universe to be His delivery boy and deliver the gifts of the Spirit, not given to you, but to others through you. Would you bow your heads, please?